Thank you, Kevin. Beautifully done. Thank you. Summer music at Trinity Lutheran Church. Thank you. And at the end of the sermon, just stay right where you're at, right in the spirit. And Carl and Brenda Fish are going to sing a piece for you that will be a nice transition from the end of the sermon. Thank you to Lois for reading that beautiful lesson out of the book of Genesis. That is a lesson that is all about hospitality. Abraham and Sarah made time and prepared a feast to provide hospitality to strangers. Hospitality was critical in the ancient world, a world without. What does it do? What good does it do to gain possessions and accolades at work if we forget the main thing? Then we are running the risk of losing our family, our marriage, of being so busy that we never quite get to God. You see, timing is everything. Doing the right thing at the right time, that's the challenge. Sometimes we need to just throw away the list and put our schedule aside to help a neighbor or a stranger who is languishing in a ditch. Sometimes we need to silence the distractions and listen to our spouse or just read a story to our children or grandchildren. Our primary calling from God in this life is to our family. Now, there are lots of things we could do, responsible things, might we even say right things that we can do with our time. But doing the right thing at the right time is the challenge. Timing is everything. My hope is that we might be more intentional as we use the precious time that God has given us. Make lists, do it. Make bucket lists. Think carefully about the days and the seasons that you have left. But never be so distracted. Never be so scheduled, so calloused that you do not have time to help a neighbor out of a ditch or to sit at the feet of Jesus on Sunday morning, hearing words of grace and hope. Do not be so busy that your children grow up while you're at the office. Do not be so scheduled, saving the world, that you forget to save time for your family. Timing is everything. Each hour is precious. And some opportunities, once ignored, out McDonald's or Motel 6's, sojourners needed to give and receive hospitality. Hospitality was a core value in the Bible, all through the Bible, and it is a core value here among us at Trinity Lutheran Church as well. Hospitality. 4,000 years ago, near the modern-day Palestinian city of Hebron, Sarah and Abraham were going about their daily chores when three strangers approached. Sarah and Abraham put their personal agendas aside and provided over-the-top hospitality to strangers. And as a result, they entertained angels without knowing it. Our theme this morning is timing is everything. Last week, we looked at the familiar parable of the Good Samaritan. And as a courtesy to those who were not here last week, we have that lesson printed on the front of your bulletin. I ended the sermon last week the same way that Jesus ended his conversation with the lawyer 2,000 years ago, with an admonition to go and do likewise, to let mercy be your guide, and to go and do likewise. Do as the Good Samaritan did, recognizing the humanity of someone from another tribe, loving God by loving your neighbor and realizing that they are all your neighbors. Go and do likewise. Do the right thing. But perhaps even more important and trickier than doing the right thing is the ability to do the right thing at the right time. Yes, timing is everything. If you spent $100 in 1997 going to the Mariners game. You bought your Mariners tickets, you got your hot dog, you got your Coke. You saw Ken Griffey and Randy Johnson. You spent $100 at the Mariners game, 1997. If you had spent that $100 on Amazon stock that day, it would be worth $120,000 today. Oh yes, timing is everything. And Islanders, we understand this. We know that 1 minute can cost us an hour in the ferry line. How many times I've sat out my driveway going, come on, we gotta go. Timing is everything. And you see, in life, wise decisions are not simply about just weighing out what is right and wrong, though that should always be a part of the conversation. Wise decisions are made when we recognize the significance of a particular moment in time. That would be doing the right thing at the right time. That is the goal. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, timing is everything. You see, there is nothing wrong with being in a hurry. There's nothing wrong with keeping a schedule, as the Levite and the priest did. Successful people keep schedules. Successful people are prompt. What the priest and the Levite did was not the problem. Their actions broke no religious or civil laws. I'm sure that they used their time wisely. They served their people well. Right and wrong is but one consideration when making a decision. In this parable, Jesus added another. Another important consideration to factor into any decision. And what was it? Mercy. Mercy. Now we should note that Jesus did not chastise the priest or the Levite in this story. They were being faithful to their work. But the hero of the story was the one who recognized the moment. What was the correct decision in that moment in time? The Good Samaritan factored mercy into his busy schedule, and as a result, he did the right thing at the right time, and Jesus praised him. And he was the hero of the story, a role model not only in good behavior, but in good timing. Jesus encouraged us then to go and do likewise. This morning, we're moving down the road. We're leaving the ditch behind and we're headed toward the village of Bethany. It is the very next stop for Jesus in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And there are a lot of great things, wonderful things going on in this story. Faithful living at every level, good friends, good conversation, and the breaking of bread together. This morning we're going to be looking at the sisters, Martha and Mary, and we will consider many things like the importance of hospitality, the importance of taking care of details, the importance of careful planning, the importance of daily chores, daily decisions, mundane but necessary tasks that add up to the quality of life of those around us. But as we look at the story of a dinner party at Martha and Mary's home, do not forget our theme. Timing is everything. So before we head off to Bethany, let me commend you for your timing this morning. You arrived on time, most of you. And you arrived, all of you, on the right day. We've had folks show up on Saturday many times, Saturday morning, thinking it was Sunday. We love them up. We give them some refreshments, but the sermon's not done. There's no Sunday school, and the church is quiet. And they leave perhaps a little embarrassed and less than satisfied. You see, yes, timing is everything. Your timing has been good so far, and that same could be said for the hospitality team here at Trinity Lutheran Church. The coffee was turned on at the right time, anticipating your arrival. The bulletin was prepared and ready. The greeters were at the front door to greet you as you came in this morning. Our musicians practiced all week anticipating your arrival today. The TLC bakers were busy bringing in cookies and goodies, knowing that you would be visiting them in the gym and you'd be hungry after the service. Yes, hospitality was important in the book of Genesis, and it's important today at Trinity Lutheran Church. And working behind the scenes, the altar guild. The pyramids are now green. The table is set next to me. The table is set because the altar guild knew we would be gathering this morning for a feast, a shared meal, a gathering of this community, a community that is defined today not by our church affiliation or our agreement on social or theological issues. Today, the community is simply those present. Our presence here today makes us a community, and we will share an hour of our lives together, 1 hour, an hour that will never come again and will never be repeated. Now, as we anticipate this meal, I'd like to invite you to join me in a table prayer. It is a Christian understanding that it is good and right that we should offer thanks for gifts that come to us, blessings, and one of those gifts, sometimes taken for granted in a land of plenty, is the gift of food. So join me, if you will, if you know the words of this table prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Blessed is God who is our bread. May all the world be clothed and fed. Amen. We pray those words. How many of you use some form of that prayer in your house? Ever have? Yeah? We pray those words, but you know what? We never really expect Jesus to show up, do we? And if we said, come Lord Jesus, and then there was a knock at the door, it might startle us just a little. We don't really expect Jesus to show up, but today Jesus is showing up. He will be the guest in our story that we're about to share, and he will be the one and only host of the meal that we'll share after that. Let's go back to the Gospel of Luke. Jesus continued on from the telling of the Good Samaritan, from that ditch. He continued on to the home of Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus. As Jesus entered the village of Bethany, some 2 miles from Jerusalem, Martha came out to greet him, saying, come, Lord Jesus, be my guest. Come, Rabbi, to my house. Take rest, be refreshed, have dinner with us. Now, Martha was a list maker. She owned the home. She was a hard-working woman. She was always focused on the task that was before her. The moment that Jesus accepted her invitation for dinner, she was in work mode. Mentally, she began to run through every detail of the meal. How many guests would she need to feed? And what menu would she choose for the meal? After all, 2 of the disciples were vegans. One needed a gluten-free diet, and Peter did not like mushrooms. Make a list, Martha. Flowers for the table, china and good silverware, an extra fork for dessert, fresh towels, clean sheets, a seating chart with calligraphy, place cards at every setting. Come, Lord Jesus, be my guest. Jesus said yes to dinner, and Martha was 100% focused on the task at hand. Now, you may remember that I said Martha had a sister. Her name was Mary. Now, in case you haven't figured this out so far in your life, let me just share this with you. Not all siblings are created equal. Martha was practical. Mary was spiritual. Martha made lists. Mary wrote poetry. Martha owned the home and kept track of all of her finances on Quicken. Mary lived with her sister, never checked the oil in the camel, and could not find her checkbook, ever. Martha had a financial advisor. Mary had a spiritual director. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Martha had a list. She was a do-bee. She was going to do. Mary was ready to learn and listen and sing kumbaya and meditate on the meaning of life. Mary was more a bee. So Martha started doing, and Mary was busy being. Just being Mary. As her sister prepared her house and cooked the food that she had bought and paid for, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and soaked it all in. Now let me tell you, folks, women were not supposed to sit at the feet of rabbis. Remember, Abraham visited with the strangers as they ate, but Sarah stayed in the kitchen, in the tent. This was long before the ordination of women. To sit at the feet of a rabbi was an honor. It identified you as a disciple, and women could not be disciples. Keep in mind, too, that in those days there were no colleges. Young men would not apply to the UW or PLU. There were no universities. If you wanted to continue your education, you applied directly to a craftsman to learn the trade from a master. If you wanted to continue your religious studies, you applied directly with a rabbi. The master craftsman or the master rabbi allowed you to sit at their feet, to learn from them, and to become a follower of a great teacher. Now, in our text, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, and it's important to note that Jesus did not send her away. Fine and good. But Mary's behavior was making her sister's blood boil. And so she said, "That airhead sister of mine, she's doing nothing to help me. We have guests, and she's leaving all the work to me, and this is so like her. It's hard to believe that we were raised by the same parents." Martha had checked off, you see, only 9 of the 21 items on her list. She was overwhelmed, and now she was fit to be tied. So she came to Jesus, and she said, "Lord, do you not care?" So let's stop there for a minute. Have you ever used those words in your life? Have you ever found yourself muttering the words, "Lord, do you not care? Do you not care about my predicament? Do you not care about my anxiety? Do you not care about my cancer? Do you not care about my marriage? Do you not care about my finances? I'm praying here, Lord. I'm trying to do my part, Lord. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but do you not care?" Imagine we've all been there at some time. Jesus looked at her and said, "Do I care, Martha? Do I care about you? Do I care about the children of God who suffer terribly in this fallen world? Martha, I created the heavens and the earth for you. I knit you together in your mother's womb. And now I am headed to Jerusalem. I'm headed for a cross. I will give my very life for you, Martha. Do I care about you? Martha, I care about you more than you will ever know. But let me tell you something else, Martha. I care more about you than I do about the menu for our dinner tonight." And Martha said, "Lord, if you care, then do you see what's happening here? My sister is not helping. My sister is sitting here with you, and I'm left alone to do all the work. She will listen to you, Lord. Tell her to get up and get helping me." Siblings are different. If you have siblings or children, you know that they're different from the day that they're born. This diversity is a blessing, though sometimes it might seem like a curse. And I guess perhaps there might be some of you here today who were at one point or another annoyed with your brother or sister in your life. No show of hands needed. No show of hands, please. Martha was exasperated. She said, "Jesus, for the love of Pete, tell her to help me." And Jesus smiled at Martha, and he said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried about so many things. There's only one thing that you need. And this time, Martha, Mary has chosen the better part." Martha was a smart woman. She heard the words of Jesus. Her master had told her that there was more to do, so she took out her list and she added to it. Number 22, sit at the feet of Jesus. Number 23, memorize parables. Number 24, pray more. Number 25, as soon as Jesus leaves, choke my sister till she's blue. So where are you? Where are you in this story? Are you more like Martha? You're more like Mary. And what can we learn from this story? Remembering our theme, timing is everything. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Now achievement is important. Achievement has its place. After all, if Martha had not worked so hard, there would not have been a home to host Jesus at this meal. And if she had not worked so hard, there would have been no food at all to serve him. Make no mistake about it, working hard is the right thing to do. It is important. But if our list begins with work and ends with work, with a little work thrown in between, then we run the risk, the very real risk, of never getting to the main thing. What does it profit you to gain possessions and accolades only to lose your health and your life? What good does it do to gain possessions and accolades at work if we forget the main thing? Then we are running the risk of losing our family, our marriage, of being so busy that we never quite get to God. You see, timing is everything. Doing the right thing at the right time, that's the challenge. Sometimes we need to just throw away the list and put our schedule aside to help a neighbor or a stranger who is languishing in a ditch. Sometimes we need to silence the distractions and listen to our spouse or just read a story to our children or grandchildren. Our primary calling from God in this life is to our family. Now, there are lots of things we could do, responsible things, might we even say right things that we can do with our time. But doing the right thing at the right time is the challenge. Timing is everything. My hope is that we might be more intentional as we use the precious time that God has given us. Make lists, do it. Make bucket lists. Think carefully about the days and the seasons that you have left. But never be so distracted, never be so scheduled, so calloused that you do not have time to help a neighbor out of a ditch or to sit at the feet of Jesus on Sunday morning hearing words of grace and hope. Do not be so busy that your children grow up while you're at the office. Do not be so scheduled saving the world that you forget to save time for your family. Timing is everything. Each hour is precious. And some opportunities, once ignored, will never return again. Timing is everything. May we have the wisdom to do the right thing at the right time. And may God help us. Amen.